ever own, guaranteed.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This is the second hour of the Paracast. The host is Gene Steinberg. Co-host Chris O'Brien. Paul Budding is our guest, and he is exploring new ufology and old ufology. And I think one question I would ask right up front before we get on with our discussion is, Paul, do you think that we are too stuck in the old ufology when it comes to UFO investigation? It's like we're repeating the same stuff we heard back in the 1950s over and over and over again.
To a large extent, yes, but I cannot say that. I think the declassified documents have brought maybe some people onto the scene, onto the UFO scene, who wouldn't otherwise be here now. And a brilliant example of that is Michio Kaku, who endorsed Leslie King's book. So I think that the declassification of documents has been a big help to the ufology field. And it's also encouraging some people who have looked a lot into the phenomenon to, you know, come out and say they endorse it. And Kaku's a great endorsement. There's a theoretical physicist, popular theoretical physicist. He looks into all kinds of areas, from hyperspace to the singularity. He's well respected within hard science. And he's endorsed, he said that the UFO phenomenon is real. So I think it's making very slow progress, but I'm not one of those who says that disclosures come in imminently, though.
Yeah, that's a whole topic of conversation right there. So what do you think of the exopolitical movement and the disclosure movement? Do you think it has a snowball's chance in Iraq to stay unmelted?
On the internet, I've noticed that if you look back, you see there's going to be disclosure in 2008, 2009, 2010. So that really is disheartening. It makes me think it's probably not the case. And besides, I'm not sure that the US elites, who it's usually aimed at, the president, etc., I'm not sure that they know what is going on. I think Bill Clinton, when he was president, once answered someone, if I remember right, Sarah McClelland. I haven't got her name in front of me, so I hope I got that right. She asked why he hasn't done anything about disclosure, and Bill Clinton said something like, "Sarah, there's a government inside the government, and I don't control it." That's very close to the exact quote. and if that's true, which my guess is that is the case. So I think that the US elite, the Obama now, I think they probably know that there's something out there that's it's unknown, it's intelligently controlled, it's craft. I think they must know about what stuff Hastings goes on about. They must know about the Congress lights from the early 50s. But I don't think that they can announce anything, because they can't say that there's something out there that messes on with our nuclear weapons and invades our airspace and flew over Congress. But we don't know what it is. That just wouldn't sound like the sort of thing that an American government or any other government could announce.
Well, the other question always gets to be this, Paul, is governments in general tend to be inefficient, incompetent. They are reactive, not proactive. So can they keep a secret for 64 years?
I think that the answer to that is that the craft that's so advanced, that it would have to be, that craft would have to land crash in a city or something like that. I think that the fact that they haven't had to disclose speaks for itself.
Right. The last thing governments want to do is admit that they're impotent in any situation. One thing that I've kind of noticed is all these other countries that have been slowly declassifying their files. I've always had a hunch that this is to try to keep the heat off the U.S. Every, 6 to 9 months, another country releases another batch. I think it's just slowly keeping the glare of publicity off the U.S. government, and that these other countries are slowly releasing this information as part of a very well-coordinated program, probably, as you pointed out, orchestrated by the U.S. But having said that, you know, again, I restate my question. Is there any way, using the tenets and the approach of old ufology, is there any way, looking at anecdotal information, to determine what it is that we're looking at definitively? And I think it's more of a rhetorical question, because I don't think there is. And you have pointed out in your paper that that we need to start rethinking and looking at this whole thing from a new and fresh perspective. Why don't you give us dive in a little bit more into your thinking about how we're going to move forward with this new ufology?
There's so many areas of this phenomenon, in my opinion. I mean, for example, talking about the difference between Hastings and Cook, and one of the things that comes to my mind, I mean, we've said something that is a plus for Hastings, the fact that why would America mess with its own nukes? One of the things for Cook is that most of the phenomenon is concentrated in the US, which again goes back to the, I'll get to your question in a second, it goes back to the capturing of German Nazi scientists.
But it's not concentrated in the US, we know that.
Entirely, but there's more, if you go on YouTube, for me, I see more cases in a lot more. I know that the US is a bigger country than Britain, but more than four or five times as many cases seem to, on YouTube, seem to be from America than from the UK. And obviously, it's an example I would give, coming from the UK myself.
But a lot happens in countries where we're not so attuned to Facebook and YouTube. Sure, South America has a lot of sightings.
Yeah. Especially where Argentina and Bolivia come together.
I suppose from my experience, there seems to be a slant towards the US over, say, Europe. I can't speak for places like China or what have you, or for Brazil and so on. But to get to your question as well, about what, can you just repeat that question, please, to refresh your memory?
Well, in other words, can we use the same methodology that we've been using ineffectively for 64 years to solve anecdotal cases? I mean, what do you propose? What new approach would you propose to attempt to move this whole game forward? And it is a game. And it does need to be moved forward. I'm sure many of our listeners on the Paracast are tired of hearing me sound like a broken record saying the wheel's broke, it's off the vehicle, we need to get creative and get outside the box and come up with new approaches to the subject matter.
It's a good question, and I think that it's slow progress. That's my opinion. You can might disagree, but I think that it has moved on since we've had the declassified documents. You know about Leslie Kane's work and Dolan's work?
Sure. Well, we've had Richard Dolan and Leslie Kane on our show, so we're quite aware of what they have. But the only question I always see here is, yes, we've seen the book, especially Leslie Kane's book, because it became a New York Times bestseller. She was on all the major TV stations. But the concern and the interest seemed to die down after a while. This is what always happens in the UFO field. Over the years, an occasional book basically bubbles to the top, and after a while it's gone again.
Communion.
Do you agree, though, that the field hasn't moved a little bit?
Very little. I still see the same issues being discussed today. Major Donald Kehoe was talking about disclosure. In the book Flying Saucer Conspiracy in the mid-1950s, I don't see that what he says in that book is all that much different, except he focused more on military cases. That's one thing about Kehoe. Because of his background, he was focusing on cases that he got from his military contacts. Today, of course, there's no Project Blue Book, and most of the cases we hear about are civilian cases, except occasionally maybe an airliner-based case. Now it's civilian, then it was military, but again, that was in the orientation of the presenter. And the same was true, of course, with the books from Edward J. Ruppelt. There was the original book and a slight update with three more chapters. That was very controversial, but that's more than we want to get into. We have Paul Budding, and he's associated with an organization he set up about UFOs called the Sirius New Ufology Institute. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Have you been sitting on a few great domain name ideas but haven't locked them in for yourself? Good. Now you can buy them through the number one domain name registrar, Namecheap.com, as voted by the top tech blog Lifehacker. Just like the name says, you can buy domains cheap, as low as $2.99. And every new domain comes with WhoisGuard, our special privacy service, free for the first year. Now that you know, it's time to grab those domain names before someone else does. Namecheap.com. Go now. Namecheap.com.
Fake Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fake Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fakemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military-issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E military.com, the main name in military supply.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
What's cooking at PrizeKitchen.com? Plenty! Low prices on your favorite kitchen brand appliances, Vitamix blenders, Omega juicers, reverse osmosis systems, and more. Plus, free shipping on it all. PrizeKitchen.com gives your family the tools for a healthy lifestyle by eating more fruits and veggies and drinking pure water. Go to PrizeKitchen.com. Great selection, low prices, free shipping. PrizeKitchen.com. We help make healthy lifestyles convenient.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
We're back with Paul Budding and his organization is called the Sirius New Ufology Institute. You're talking with Gene and Chris. Paul, just a question. Your institute, is this just you, or do you have an organization behind you?
My idea, and there's someone called Nathan Wozniak, he's Canadian, and he's the technical brains behind it, setting it up on the online, and we're hoping to progress from there. He's managed to get it online, and we've got a few papers on there, but it's very early stages, but we've made a start, so that's good.
Well, we'll have to get a banner up so people know exactly where to go to find out more and read your papers. Again, that's how I first became aware of you is I think Patrick Weege at The Anomalist may have posted a little notice about your paper. And I immediately said, hey, Gene, we got to get Paul on the show and kick around some of these ideas and try to move this whole morass forward down the road a little bit.
Fixing. The morass is just getting worse. We were talking before you came on, Paul, about an incident, which I'm not going to repeat in great detail, about a longtime UFO investigator who had phony educational and perhaps military credentials. And that's, of course, an issue that has always confronted us in this field. So many people come around, and maybe it's a small percentage of the whole, but we just hear about them more. They come around, they make fake claims. They have fake credentials. So how, in your opinion, Paul, do we deal with the frauds?
Spank them.
There's people who...
There we go.
The people who are claiming to be researchers and claiming to have seen things.
More claiming to be a doctor, claiming to have certain educational credentials. People like that. And you check it out and you find out they didn't.
Yeah. How can you take any of their work seriously?
Well, yeah, exactly. All you can do with that is ignore them.
Hope they go away.
Yes.
Okay, but you have the web presence, Paul. Do you hope to put together a group of investigators to go through the information we have and try to present findings and such? Where is your end game here?
I don't think I've got an end game. It's just that people can come on, and as long as they're roughly, just vaguely think that I've got a point about needing to move it past accumulating cases, and as long as they've got something to say and something that might be able to contribute, then I think it's worthwhile listening to anyone, basically, as long as they can. And I say if they could write a paper, that would be ideal. Just you can't tell people to come up with the exact answer, because that's too unrealistic.
Well, is that also the other issue here? Maybe it is that we have to find ways to take what's there, that we have the evidence. It's all out there. And it's not just Roswell, New Mexico in 1947 or something. There is enough information out there today that if there were no more UFO sightings, we'd still be able to do investigations.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder what people are wanting. I think some people, it's clear, they want disclosure from the American president. But I think that some people maybe think that that's not necessary, that they can put this all together themselves. Now, I've gone so far with that argument, but I stop short of saying they are ET, they are time travellers, they're interdimensional, they come from some secret government. But I can get so far, therefore, because I think that they are intelligently controlled craft. They don't say anything about the beings or anything like that, or if it's artificial intelligence. Somebody I know who believes that theory to a certain extent, but isn't certain. So I see anomalies within anomalies, and I think that some of the anomalies are the best cases. And the Congress Lights is a very, very good one. I cannot explain that. And actually, Nick Cook, who we've been saying, goes on about the human explanation, largely an American explanation, I think. He, when he did a Channel 5 documentary on British television, at the end of it, he purposely contradicted himself, showed the footage from the Congress Lights and said, I must admit, I cannot explain this within my theory. So even at least at the time he made that program, could see something that contradicted his own theory and was unexplainable. So
Maybe they are collective manifestations of mandala images flitting around just to play with our heads. Maybe Jung was right. I still want to move this ball down the field. I mean, what's the best way to do that? I've been championing out-of-the-box thinking ever since I became involved in this field almost 20 years ago now. And it's really difficult, I think I should kind of stress this point. It's very difficult in a field that has no real credentialing process to sometimes wade through a lot of the noise and try to identify that signal within the noise. And especially now with digital, you know, Photoshop and other After Effects and other digital imaging programs, we're getting more and more hoaxes. More people are willing to spend time to try to fool everyone else into believing that their little art project is reality. And do you think that we should try to organize ourselves somehow? I think Leslie Keene brought this up in her book about some sort of organization that would be tasked with investigating the better cases and trying to weed out the signal from all that noise. I mean, what sort of approach? I mean, in a sort of a tangible, realistic way. I mean, what sort of approach would you envision? Let's say you had an unlimited budget, and they said, Paul, how would you spend X amount of dollars to accomplish your goal of trying to ascertain what we are dealing with? What would you do?
Well, I think that it's a shame that more of the top scientists aren't interested in it, because that would help, because people naturally project onto them sort of professionalism, authority, knowledge. I mean, people accept gravity and what have you, not just because it's real, but because people have said it's so, it's Newton's law and everything. And I think it just feeds down eventually. I think the more people like that, top scientists who say things, that's why I mentioned Kaku before, then the more people will feel it's okay, it's agreeable, it's familiar, it's consensual. But the UFO phenomenon, as it's always been, as it is now, is nothing like that. And that's a big problem. So I think that would be my answer to that question. But you cannot force these people to give up their well-paid careers to look into a topic that they don't want to. So I think that's a difficult one to overcome.
So you're talking about getting legitimate science involved directly. Well, if we can't get the top dogs, maybe we can get their research assistants or their graduate students or something.
I think we sometimes think that the research assistants are the ones who do really all the work.
Yeah,
that's probably true.
It might be true, but I'm just saying what would help for the masses to be convinced. So I'm not saying that other people can't do a good job, but nevertheless they might find it harder, if not impossible, to convince.
I'll tell you what, we have to convince our benefactors of a few things, so we're talking to Paul Budding. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide worldwide customers with Real People customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Is your church, school, or organization desperately looking for new fundraising ideas? Tired of the same old candles or candy, taking orders, inventory, and low profits? Well, here's great news. 10X Fundraising guarantees 10 times traditional profits with zero hassle. For an amazing free bonus, free shipping, and an extra 10% off, enter GCN when you go to 10xfundraising.com. That's the number 10, the letter X, fundraising.com. Or call 800-480-8797. Visit 10X Fundraising for 10 times the profit today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
We're back with Paul Budding, UFO investigator, looking at the new ufology, trying to get things together with Gene and Chris on the PowerCast this week. Chris, maybe we could segue into some of the questions we have from our audience in the PowerCast forums.
I think we had a lot of people scratching their heads because we only got really one question, which is highly unusual for the show. I think the whole idea of someone who's a student of Jung's psychology might have been a little daunting for some of our forum posters. We do have quite an extensive forum at forum.theparacast.com with thousands and thousands of participants.
Here's what we do when we know we have a guest scheduled. What we try to do is put something in our forums in a folder or thread called the Question Bank. So if you go to forum.theparacast.com, forum.theparacast.com, you sign up. It costs nothing to sign up. You just have to agree to be a mensch. It's free. You don't get bombarded by emails. I think the worst we do is we send out a reminder every 45 to 60 days saying, gee, you haven't posted anything. Wouldn't you like to do that? That's about as bad as we get, about as obnoxious as we get. So we set up these threads where you can post questions to forthcoming guests. Now, some have asked, why don't we do this on the telephone, which we're capable of doing. And I think the problem with that is it restricts us in scheduling, because then we'd have to do the show live, and the guests would have to be here at that particular point in time, which may work for a daily show, but not necessarily for a weekly show. So we have the flexibility this way. And also, you know, when you take phone calls, it's harder than to screen the calls. You get occasionally a few wackos. Again, it's good for a daily show. I don't think so much as a weekly show. Chris, you have that stuff?
I do.
Okay.
This comes from Boomerang, who's a fairly new member of the forum. He joined here in January. And he has two questions, one of which I think we've kind of addressed a little bit, but I'll go ahead and ask it as the first question. What's the difference between Carl Jung's concept of UFOs as psychic projections versus common hallucinations? It's a bit of a softball question, but I'll ask it.
Well, the projections, it's sort of like, it's not a hallucination. You see the UFO in the sky, so it is that, an unidentified flying object. But then you project onto it what you think it is. Also, you project an emotion attached to it, so it fixes in your head, like, you really like the image. So you say, you project fascination and awe onto it, mystery. You did see something. Whereas with an hallucination, you didn't really see it. So that's the answer to that.
Okay, so let me try to help define this a bit better, Paul. All right, so if you see something that's a projection, is your mind coloring that image so you're not seeing what's there, you're seeing what you expect to be there, what you believe will be there?
Maybe it's what you want to be there, and also there's a cultural factor, so that all fits it. That all fits in with UFOs.
Now, I think when I hear this about the movie Contact with Jodie Foster, plays this astronomer who meets E.T. towards the end of the film, but E.T. comes in the form of her late father. And E.T. says, well, you wouldn't be able to accept what we really look like, so we're coming here and we are presenting ourselves in a way that you understand. So the question would be then, do we imagine UFOs to be something other than they are, or do they, assuming there is a they, make themselves to be something other than they are?
That goes beyond the sort of psychology that I look into. It goes beyond the projection side of it. If they're changing themselves into something that they are not, or that they can just change themselves into, that's like really paranormal, and from our perspective in early 21st century Western world, that would be something for the science fiction fans, I think, to look into. Which, although I'm not slagging that off, because science fiction often becomes science fact.
Well, every time you look at the Star Trek communicator and you think of the clamshell cell phone, or that little handheld device in Star Trek Next Generation in the 1980s, and the iPad.
Right.
Yeah, science fiction becomes science fact. I've got a friend who's very interested in the singularity, very interested, you know. Kurzweil singularity theory. But to go back to the point you were saying before about what we should do to get ufology moving, to get it advancing, and I mentioned about scientists. One of the things that scientists really would like to see, I think, those who would be willing to take an interest in it, is an agnostic position on what actually it is. I think when they see, I think they view the field as all being already made their mind up about the ET hypothesis.
Right.
I think that puts a lot of them off. Because
I agree. I absolutely agree. And plus, it's the replication of data. It's a repeatability factor, too. If you can't repeat something and show that your hypothesis is correct and then have other people be able to do it, scientists tend to get bored real fast, and they don't tend to pay attention like maybe they should. I think by getting scientists involved, I think one of the things that you're hinting at here, but you didn't really say overtly, is that there is a certain amount of credibility that does go along with world class scientists getting involved in any field of endeavor. It definitely it brings a kind of a sense of gravitas to the subject that it might not have if they weren't involved. So I think one of the things that you know, has really been a major stumbling block, as you've just brought up, is this reliance on the ETH. And that goes back to one of my early questions about the role of the media. I think the media has been involved in really perpetuating this one-size-fits-all theory. And, you know, it makes me not want to watch these shows because it gets pretty old seeing this trotted out time and time again. Of course, as many of the listeners know, I'm more of a, you know, a person that's more into outside of the box thinkers like John Keel, Jacques Vallée, And to a lesser degree, people like Paul Devereaux, who wants to factor in the whole idea of maybe some sort of as yet undefined natural phenomena, maybe involved. Trevor James Constable and his idea of sky critters, that maybe we're dealing with some sort of life form that can manifest in a variety of ways. These are potential explanations I feel deserve at least some sort of looking at. And I think that there's a lot of creative ways to approach this whole subject that really are not getting their due in the media. And I think the media is too involved in entertaining people and sort of spoon-feeding them what they think they want to hear. And I think that that's self-defeating. It gets into a feedback loop that does not move the field forward, and I think 64 years have proven that. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but people like yourself who are attempting to look at this in new and different ways, I think this is a really good indication to me that there is hope. You're not an old fogey like Gene and me. You're
younger than
me.
Speak for yourself, Chris. I'm as old as the hills, and I was here before the hills. Before
well,
they were
Paul's,
alive with the
Paul
sound
is not
music.
Over. I'd be surprised if you were over 40. We're both over 50, so
37.
So we're in the next. Huh?
37.
Good. Good.
Babe
so we
in
need
arms.
More young blood and young bucks in the field here. Sure. You know, pushing us old fogies to start thinking a little bit more creatively and outside of the box. Here's part two.
I'm thinking of saying what doesn't help. I was thinking the British tabloids won't help much, I'm afraid.
Yeah, oh boy, don't go there.
and it's more on the psychology side. I'm thinking it to scientists. You know about the Milgram experiment all them years back in America? That shows how much people, what's the word, respect scientists' views. So that's...
Yeah. Sometimes scientists can get a little outside of themselves. They're only human.
And we'll get into more about the human scientists or maybe the non-human scientists that are coming here, if there are such things, and lots more. Paul Budding is our guest. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances, only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold-processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop!
Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA. But Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're back with Paul Budding. We're exploring the new ufology myth or not. We'll have to see. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. That question we started long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away or a dimensional reality from Boomerang, was there more to it than that?
There was. There was a second part, which is pretty interesting. Now, this shows creative thinking. Is it true that Jung came to believe that instead of us imagining the consciousness behind UFOs, the consciousness was imagining us?
I know. You're getting that from Memories, Dreams, Reflections, yeah. He says that in Memories, Dreams, Reflections towards the end, yeah. Is that where you've got that quote from?
Well, it's just a question from one of our forum
yeah,
posters.
Well, that's, Jung did say that. He says a lot, though, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where like you're...
We're the UFOs in their reality, in other words.
Yeah, your listener has hit the nail on the head in the sense that he's right, that Jung said that in Memories, Dreams, Reflections, his sort of biography.
I like that.
Jung, though, just to, if you want the answer I think Jung would want to hear, he would say that his work that he wants people to read is his collected works. He was very strict about that for some reason. And Memories, Dreams, Reflections was like more populist, I suppose he would say. Nevertheless, you might argue, you might say, well, if he doesn't think it, why say it? But nevertheless, it's his collective works that he always says he wants to be remembered by. I mean, in Memories, Dreams, Reflections, he does go to town, he really goes a lot at his most paranormal experiences, his experiences of ghosts, dreams that came true, precognition, synchronicity, telepathy, and yeah, he mentions the UFO phenomenon in there as well. But yeah, you listen.
One issue that follows, Paul, is that how do you sell this to the public? I mean, this is always part of the problem, conveying very complicated information to people who are not college graduates or their graduate degrees are in subjects other than psychology and stuff like that. So I guess we look at E.T. and those who believe in UFOs, a lot of them accept E.T. because it is a concept that's easy for us to swallow.
Convenient.
It's convenient. Our culture is formed that way. But when you take stuff from a Jacques Vallée or John Keel or Carl Jung and you start talking about collective unconscious and ultra-terrestrials and dimensional portals and all this stuff, it gets to be something that causes your eyes to glaze over. So I guess the other part of the question that I would put into this is, how do you convey this in a way, not dumbing it down, but just making it understandable? How do you take something, Paul, real complicated or obscure and get people psyched about it?
I think that some people have a knack for that. I'm not sure if Jung was the first person to come to mind to that, but Kaku is someone who is really good at using, you know, he's got this theoretical physicist scientist head, yet he so easily communicates to the masses on the scientific theories that are very complicated, and he manages to put it across in such a way as you want to watch the show, and many people who don't have a clue about physics probably like him, and many people who are top physicists probably like to talk to him as well. So I think that you need people who can communicate like that, definitely.
Yeah, take complex subjects and present them in an easy to understand manner. Yeah, his books are written like that too. His books are very good in that regard.
Politicians like to have that gift, don't they? So,
well, the problem with politicians, though, it bothers me, is they're so much steeped in sound bites. They say, well, of course, the TV networks, the cable news shows, they want to get 5 or 10 seconds, pithy comments. And so they will basically figure out the best way to present that comment. Doesn't matter, it has nothing to do with the issue under question. They have to have it distilled into that 5, 10, 20 words. And how do you do that with UFOs beyond spaceships and that sort of thing?
That's a good question again. Like I said, some people have this gift to do it and others don't. I mean, it happens in every field. In Singularity, Kurzweil's a genius, but maybe someone could be better at communicating the thoughts than he is. And it's the same in ufology. I'm not sure who you'd say would be the best at communicating in the UFO field. Do you have any ideas yourselves on that one?
Well, Stanton Friedman has had so much experience that he's very good at it. I tend to disagree with a lot of his conclusions, but he does have a way of very effectively, in an easy to understand manner, present his ideas and his information. He would be a good model.
I wish his name had come to my head now. That's a good answer.
But again,
Richard Dolan's very good.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, of course, Chris, is that someone like a Stanton Friedman is still steeped in E.T.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
We're in the galactic neighborhood, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and they think that we're a bunch of primitive fools. And it's a very elementary expression of
what it's about. Yeah, I said I didn't agree with his conclusions, but he's very good at stating the position.
I think we all agree on this, then, because I agree that he's a good communicator, but I don't like his certainty about the F hypothesis, the E.T., controlled nuts and bolts craft from other planets. So I think we all agree on that one.
I also wonder if some researchers do it that way, not because they necessarily harbor those beliefs, but because it's the best way to sell the subject.
Give the people what they want.
Or give them what they need in order to get them interested, and then you hopefully can take them to the next level, which is, of course, what it's all about. How do we move them to the next level?
All I've been doing is saying that we've got the cumulative cases, there's many of them, and now we've got to think about what are these craft, and then if we can decide that, then we can move on to questions of why they're coming here and what have you. But at the minute, we don't know whether they're artificial intelligence, secret human, time travellers, ET. And it's precisely this agnosticism that's necessary for science to be interested. So although it sounds like a bad position to take because you're not reaching a definite conclusion, I think it's the best position to be in right now. And then scientists might get involved, like Kaku's impressed with Keane. And I think Leslie Keane, if I'm right, doesn't come to a conclusion, does she, about what theory, what it is that these craft are. She just says that they are unknown, intelligently controlled craft.
Well, even that's making an assumption.
Yeah, and she does kind of lean, I think, towards the ETH, although not overtly. But, well, to answer my question, which is the one that Gene kind of restated, I think hard data monitoring is the only way that we're really going to take this field further in the manner that you suggest. And that would be identifying areas that have a preponderance of activity, and it tends to ebb and flow more frequently. Just get all your sensing equipment, your triangulated camera arrays, and your trained and vetted sky watchers, and a network of you know, people that are going to jump up if a sighting occurs, and your monitoring equipment starts getting data. You know, having people go out and get footage from different angles, let's say. And once you can triangulate on a particular event visually, possibly with a radar unit or a magnetometer or gravimeter, then you're going to have the kind of data that a scientist would go, that's interesting. What do we have here? Lights in the sky, people out partying in some lover's lane, seeing something fly by, and they get a cell phone camera. A scientist isn't going to take that seriously. But if you have a very strict set of protocols, a very intelligently designed scientific program in place, I think that that is the quickest and easiest way to get scientific acceptance and involvement in studying this. And, of course, you have that stumbling block, which I'm currently having to deal with, and that is getting the funding to put together a program like this. For your information, Paul, I am attempting to do exactly what I described in the San Luis Valley, where I still investigate for almost 20 years now. And because the technology has advanced to a point where the cost points are down, I think it's actually doable now. For about $100,000, you can have a state-of-the-art, almost, monitoring program set up in a hotspot area like the San Luis Valley, or places all over the world that this, you know, this could be a turnkey system that could be dispatched and set up anywhere. So, sort of to answer my own question, that would be my suggestion. Instead of filing all the, you know, the National UFO Reporting Service, sure, you know, the ebb and flowing of reports is important to some degree, but it sure hasn't helped us move forward in the last 64 years. I think with the release of documents and good physical trace cases, for instance, have done more to move the field forward, really, than anything else. So
we have to move forward. Paul Budding's the guest. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.